Oh, well, that was effective. I didn't do anything and everybody shut up.
That's serious.
Yes, you're dead. This is the regular planning board agenda of December 2nd, 2020. This meeting's been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. And we're also, oh, I don't have to do the governor thing because we're here. So at this point, we can go to a flag salute.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Shelley, can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Adams? Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Birch? Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Halliday? Mr. Hartzell?
Here.
Mr. Jessel? Mr. Loper?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Dr. Vandeshore?
So we do have a quorum underneath the new business. It's PBA 20-014, Brian and Julie. So what?
Converse.
At 400 West Surf Road, Block 7018, Lot 12, Gardens 45, 5,000 zone. Is there a reason in front of us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Avery Tyler, I'm here tonight on behalf of the applicants. As you mentioned, it's Brian and Judy Subers. They are the owners of 400 West Surf Road. You mentioned the lot and block. The property is currently an oversized interior lot measuring 60 feet by 100 feet. Property is located in the G45 5000 zone and contains an existing two-family dwelling. The applicants here tonight seeking approval to subdivide the property into two identical lots, both measuring 30 feet by 100 feet, and construct modest single-family dwellings on each newly created lot. The proposed lots will be identical in size with the two adjacent lots to the west and other lots in the neighborhood. Variance relief is required for lot area, lot width, and lot frontage for both proposed lots. However, the proposed new dwellings will conform to all bulk requirements for the zone. The requested variances can be granted under the C2 or flexible standard, and that the subdivision will produce more harmonious lot sizes for the neighborhood, which, as the board is aware, is a recognized purpose of zoning. The project will also provide more light, air, and open space by providing a view corridor between the proposed buildings. The proposed subdivision will not increase density because the property already contains a two-family dwelling. The proposed development also advances a goal of the master plan by providing single-family dwellings instead of the existing duplex. The positive aspects of granting this application outweigh any negative aspects. If there's no substantial detriment to the public good, and granting the variances will not impair the intent or purpose of the zone plan or zoning ordinance. The applicants are going to call two witnesses tonight. The first witness is a pinch hitter. It's John Halberner, who is filling in for Ned Schwab, who couldn't be here tonight as a result of the pandemic. So the applicant calls John Halberner.
Good evening, Mr. Halberner. Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God?
It is.
And the chair will recognize Mr. Halberner.
And Mr. Halberner has been in front of us on many occasions to speak to this topic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Halberner, could you provide the board an overview of the application and the subdivision?
Absolutely. As you mentioned in your opening statements, the existing lot is a 6,000 square foot lot. It's oversized for the zone, 60 foot wide and 100 foot deep. It is currently developed with a non-conforming use, that being a duplex. What we're proposing to do is simply take that lot and divide it exactly in half to create two equal lots, each 30 feet wide by 100 feet deep, or 3,000 square feet. And the proposed use for those lots will be in conforming single-family use.
We need three variances tonight, is that correct?
That's correct. Lot area, lot width, and lot frontage.
And this is for both proposed lots?
For both of them, correct.
And these are C variances, obviously?
For both of them, yes.
Okay. And you've reviewed other lots along this area on West Surf Road, is that correct?
Correct.
And the two lots immediately next door to us are the exact same dimensions as what we're proposing?
They are. They're both about 100.
Okay. And four out of the five lots to the west of us have 30 feet of frontage?
Exactly, yes.
All right. So what we're proposing is consistent with this area?
Absolutely consistent.
All right. And we are creating more harmonious lot sizes for this area?
Absolutely.
And this is a stated purpose of zoning under the municipal land use?
It is.
Okay. And you mentioned it, and I mentioned it, we're removing a non-conforming duplex two-family use, is that correct?
That's correct, and doing so, of course, will not increase the density.
Took the words right out of my mouth, okay. No, it's good. The single-family dwellings that Mr. Bechtold's designed, they would, what would be considered modest single-family dwellings?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at each of the ordinance controls set in place to limit the size of the building, the proposed buildings are all underneath the maximum permitted in every category.
So they would be considered undersized?
They would, yes.
All right. From a planning perspective, two houses would be more beneficial than one raised and renovated duplex in this location, correct?
Yeah, for multiple reasons. So, as you mentioned earlier, having the increased view corridors, the conforming use, having two houses that are more modest in size and more compatible with the adjacent smaller houses on smaller lots.
And we could raise and renovate this duplex as a matter of right?
Correct.
Would you agree that this is a better zoning alternative for the lot?
A far better alternative than the by-right alternative of raising the duplex and renovating it.
Also a better zoning alternative than a McMansion-style house?
Absolutely.
As a result, would it be your testimony that the subdivision and modest single-family dwellings advance the purpose of the master plan by providing for single-family dwellings?
They clearly do.
All right, and this also advances the purpose of zoning in addition to a goal of the master plan?
Of course.
Therefore, it's your professional opinion that the variance is to be granted under the C2 standard?
Correct, the benefits clearly outweigh the detriments.
Let's go through the benefits one last time.
Sure.
We're creating harmonious lot sizes, correct?
We are.
More light, air, and open space?
We are.
We're removing non-conforming use?
We certainly are.
We're increasing parking?
We are, we're doing that.
Okay, and you're creating flood compliance?
Correct, the existing building, the sun flood elevation, the new construction obviously will not be.
Benefits of granting this application outweigh any detriment the board sees fit to grant it?
Absolutely.
Granting of the application substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance?
No, to the contrary, that actually advances it.
Okay, so would it be your testimony that the negative criteria is satisfied?
Clearly.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Halpern.
Board have any questions for Mr. Halpern? Seeing none.
Thank you. The applicant's next witness is the project architect, Andrew Bechtold.
Good evening, Mr. Bechtold. It's a testimony you're about to be receiving, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of your God.
It is.
And the chair will recognize Mr. Bechtold.
Mr. Bechtold has been in front of us on many occasions, and we are familiar with his credentials, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bechtold, can you provide the board an overview of the application, subdivision, and the architectural plans that you've designed?
Sure, yes. We're taking an existing two-family home, removing it, subdividing down the middle, and creating two single-family homes in its place. The one property will be having four bedrooms, the other one will be having five. All the buildings have been designed to conform to the requirements set forth for the zone, with the exception of obviously width and frontage and obviously lot area, but all the bulks are conforming and then some.
So the buildings that you design are fully conforming, correct?
They are.
The only variance is that we need lot area, lot width, lot frontage, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And in preparation for the hearing tonight, you reviewed the other surrounding lots?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you heard Mr. Halpern's testimony, you'd agree with that the two lots immediately to the west of us are the same size we're proposing?
They are, yes.
Okay, four out of five lots in that area have the same frontage?
Yes.
So you would agree that what we're proposing is consistent with the area?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And these single-family dwellings that you've designed, you heard me mention that they're modest single-family dwellings?
They are,
correct?
Yes.
Let's go through just some of the stats quickly. The front yard setback is greater than what it could be?
Yes.
For both of them?
Yes, they are.
Both rear yard setbacks are much greater than what they could be?
They are much greater.
And the height is approximately 5 feet less than permitted?
5 feet less than permitted, and we're not doing a half story on any of these homes.
Okay. And the impervious coverage for both properties well below the maximums?
Yes, while still providing 3 off-street parking spaces per home.
Okay. And the floor area ratio about 10% for each of them?
Yes.
All right. And you're increasing parking, as you mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you were designing these houses, did you collaborate with the neighbors?
Yes, the owners of the home wanted to make sure they had neighborhood support, so we discussed, especially with former chairman Mr. Hauck. We went through a series of design changes, moved buildings around, pushed things around a little bit to try to get, you know, everybody happy, but still maintain that neighborhood feel.
And what's there now is a non-conforming duplex, correct?
It is a non-conforming duplex, that is correct.
So what we're proposing is not going to be any increase in density?
No, it will not. To there's two units there, we're providing two single families, yes.
And you agree, Mr. Halbarner's testimony, that we could raise and renovate this existing duplex without any approvals from either board?
Correct, substantially, I believe approximately 6 feet you could go up from grade. So there would be, definitely a larger building, non-conforming use.
You could also design a very large single-family dwelling for that lot, correct?
Absolutely. Again, you could have a very large building because of the lot width that's currently there. It would be a fairly tall building, fairly wide building, not to mention you could do architectural projections in the side yards, increasing the width of the structure.
And that wouldn't be consistent with the neighborhood what's there now?
No, not at all, especially with the narrower lots that are adjacent to this lot.
And it'd be worse for layer and open space?
I would, yes, absolutely.
All right. Does the subdivision advance the purpose of zoning by providing for single-family dwellings?
It does, yes.
All right. Would it be your testimony that this is a better zoning alternative for the lot?
Absolutely. It's more consistent with the surrounding buildings that are adjacent to it.
Is it your professional opinion that the variance be granted under the C2 or flexible standard?
Yes.
All right. This is because several purposes of zoning are being met under the municipal land use law?
Yes.
Let's go through them quickly. Creating harmonious lot sizes, as you testified, correct?
Yes.
More light, air, and open space by having a view corridor?
Yes.
We're removing the non-conforming duplex use?
Yes.
Increasing parking?
Yes.
And we are providing flood compliance?
Absolutely.
The benefits of granting this application outweigh any detriment of the board, any detriment to the public good if the board sees fit to grant it?
Yes.
All right. Granting the application substantially impair the intent and purposes of the zoning?
No, it does not.
So is it your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied?
Absolutely.
Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Bechtel.
Any questions from the board for Mr. Bechtel? Seeing none at this time.
Have a good rest of the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Shule?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have an opportunity to review this application. Issued a report dated October 14, 2020. I'm going to skip right through to page 3. There's a section of the tax map. Gives you some context for the location of this property and the relative sizes of the lots in that neighborhood. We also did a completeness review based on a minor subdivision checklist. We would support the waiver for topographic data on page 4 of our report, and also support the sewage availability letter for completeness item, subject to that being a condition of the board's approval. On page 6 of our report, we summarize the variances that are required for the two-lot subdivision, minimum lot area, lot frontage, and lot width for both lots. The zoning conformance schedule on page 6 and carrying those on to page 7 summarizes and puts in context the not only the aspects of the lot conforming and non-conformity and the variances required, but also conformity of the proposed dwellings. Within the garden's 45,000 zone. As you can see, the buildings themselves are well in conformance with the zone requirements. We did have a question in our review comments regarding the porches being in conformance with the code requirements. We just would like to have confirmation from the applicant that they have been designed in accordance with the section 316, which would allow 2% of the lot area to be excluded from building coverage. As noted, their variance approvals are required for the proposed two lots. The two lots represent 60% of the minimum required in this zone, and the lot frontage and lot width is 67% of the minimum required in the zone. Carrying over to page 9 of our report, the construction official requires the bottom of the floor joists be set a minimum elevation of 11 feet. It appears that the dwellings comply with that requirement. We've deemed that the curb strip and street trees are acceptable as shown on the plans. We've also reviewed the side yard encroachments, the front step setbacks. The AC screening details now also confirmed to be in conformance with the city code. We would defer comment regarding stormwater drainage utilities to your board engineer. And on page 10, we have the standard conditions of approval that would apply should the board be inclined to approve this subdivision. Any questions? Extend my comments.
Any questions for Mr. Shore on his report? Seeing none, Mr. Scheidt, engineering report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Board members, our report was also dated October 14th, 2020. We had the same completeness items identified on page 2 of our report, such graphic data on and throughout the site, and also the sewage service availability letter as a condition of approval. Based upon those waivers, the application is complete for review. We also identified the same variances, lot width for both, lot area for both, and lot frontage for both. We jumped into technical comments on page 3. I'd like to touch quickly on item number 4. The maximum permitted building coverage in this zone is 35%. The R45 5000 zone dictates that 35%, but there is a footnote number 23 that allows for up to 2% of the lot area to be excluded from the calculation for building coverage if there's a front porch designed in accordance with our ordinance. So I'd like to make an amendment to my report because I do not believe that footnote allows for up to a 37% coverage, as it seems to indicate on the plan. 35% is still the governing building coverage allowance in this zone. If you do the calculations based on that front porch, assuming that it meets the requirements for the zone, the maximum building coverage for lot 12.01 is 34.3%, and the maximum building coverage for lot 12.02 is 34.9%, both under the 35% required for the zone. So no variance is required. However, I would like to be clear that the maximum building coverage for this zone is 35%, not the 37% as it seems to indicate on the plans. Just a way of calculating it differently, but I just wanted to be clear for the record about that 35%. Paragraph 5, the plans call for a 6-foot wide sidewalk along the frontage of this property. All of the sidewalk in the area is only 4-foot wide, with a relatively large governor strip in that area. We would recommend that the board move to the 4-foot wide sidewalk for conformance with the neighborhood instead of lumping a 6-foot wide sidewalk just in front of these two lots. Paragraph number 6, we need a benchmark on the grading plan. Paragraph number 7, we ask the applicant to revise the curb line grades along the frontage of the property. There's a high point in the middle of the property and a low point at the eastern end of the property line that could create some flooding or ponding in that area. So we'd like to have those grades revised. We'd also like some additional grades on the curb and sidewalk noted on the plans, and especially with the eastern property line, because there's a driveway right there with that eastern property line. The minor subdivision plan should be revised to meet the requirements of the filing law, and we defer landscape to the plan. So that's the extent of my review letter for this application.
Any questions for Mr. Scheidt?
I do.
Yes.
Well, it's actually for both. So do you need revised plans showing the compliant porch? No.
No.
What about Randy?
I would like some testimony from the applicant in that regard. I think that could clear that up.
But you guys are okay with the way it's depicted in the charts, 35%, and then he indicates 2%, and then total max coverage 37. Or do you want that revised?
I'd like to have that zoning chart revised because my review letter requires some minor changes to the plans.
Anyway.
So while they're being changed anyway, I'd like to have that clarified.
Okay.
So that's more correct on the plan.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bechtel, would you like to talk to that subject?
Yes, absolutely. We will definitely change the bulk chart to note that there's a 2% bonus coverage, if you will, but we'll say that 35 is still required, and then modify the calculation accordingly. The porch has to have by minimum a 2% roof pitch on it, has to be 8 feet deep, and has to have stairs that connect it to the street. Those are the three major rules that the porch has to have.
Yeah.
we have complied with all of those in the designs, sometimes to the chagrin of our client, but we have complied with all of those. The steps, 2% minimum pitch and 8 feet deep. That's basic, and at least a third of the front of the building, which we have complied with on these, on this design.
Good. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Mr. Bechtold or Mr. Halbern, can we get an agreement on the size of the sidewalk, that the plans will be revised to make 4 feet?
Absolutely, yes.
Very well, thank you very much.
Does anybody have a question of Mr. Bechtold or Mr. Porch issue?
And the porch, I'm sorry, the porch is open on all sides?
Yes, it technically be open on two. It's open on two sides.
And that's one of the requirements of the ordinance, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Like to open it up to the public? At this point, I'd like to have a motion to open it up to the public. Do I have a second?
Hartzell, second.
Call in favor? Anyone from the public want to have a comment on this application? We're basically at 400 West Surf Road. Please come forward if you want to speak.
Tim Hartzell. Good evening.
I'm Jim Howe, 336 West Surf Road. I live in the home.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Good evening.
Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth?
It is.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so be God.
It is.
And it's 336 West Surf?
Correct.
Thank you.
I live in a house immediately adjacent to the property in question, to the west. Interestingly enough, my home and the one next door, which is also a 30-foot lot, at one time was the exact same lot as the applicant's current lot. About 20 years ago, they came to the Ocean City Planning Board, and as I understand it, after much haggling, they eventually got approval to tear down the duplex, subdivide the lot, and then build two singles. And as Avery has alluded to, four of the five properties to the west are 30-foot lots. And most of the remaining properties along the south side of West Surf Road, even the ones that are conforming lots, are duplexes. Probably more than 50% of the remaining homes are duplexes, which, again, are non-conforming in the gardens. I've been in my home since it was built in 2001. I moved in full-time in 2002. Other than the Lahr family and Juan Klein, I think I've been there longer than anybody on West Surf Road. So I have a real, you know, grasp of the neighborhood. And I do feel that this request is very reasonable. I feel, as Mr. Bechtold and Mr. Tyler have said, that it's what they want to build is certainly within the character of the neighborhood. And to look at the alternatives, as Andrew said, they could raise that house 6 feet without coming to the planning board or the zoning board, and it's a fairly large structure as it is. So if you raise that house 6 feet, maintain it as a duplex, and have an income-producing property for them, to me that would be much more objectionable than subdividing a lot. And again, building homes that are in character with the neighborhood. And alternatively, given the size of that lot, they could build a massive single, which again would be way out of character with the neighborhood. There's only one really large single on West Surf Road, and that is on the north side of West Surf Road. So again, I'm in favor of this application. As Andrew had mentioned, I'm the former chairman of the Ocean City Zoning Board for many years. I've been faced with many decisions like the ones that you guys are about to make. And obviously, you have to weigh, you know, a non-conforming structure versus, in terms of use, to non-conforming lots in terms of size. So for me, the answer is really simple. And I think it's a very good application, and I hope this board approves it. That's all I have.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else have a comment? Please come forward.
Mike McGinley, I live on the other side of...
Good evening, Mr. McGinley. Hold on, let me get your spelling and your name.
It's Michael.
Can you get to the microphone, please?
Sure.
Mr. McGinley, how do you spell your last name?
C-G-I-N-L-E-Y.
And Mr. McGinley, and your address?
410 West Third.
Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, all of God?
Yes, it is.
Very well.
I'm not as eloquent or as versed as Jim is on the nuances of all of this, but as far as we're concerned on the other side, it's the ideal for us to have, first of all, to keep our neighbors, and secondly, to have two, as people have described more than once, modest-sized homes that fit the neighborhood, that are elegant and done with intent and in terms of keeping the aesthetics of the block the way they are. And so we just wanted to make that clear to the board. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public have a comment? Please come forward at this time. No one else in the public? Can I have a motion to close the public?
No move.
Do I have a second?
Second, Hartzell.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Back to the applicant's professionals.
Do we have any questions of the applicant or applicant's professionals? No. Applicant rest.
Thank you. Can we go to a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. The chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative to approve the subdivision request presented by Mr. Tyler and testified to by Mr. Halberner and Mr. Bechtold. There are three variances that attend the subdivision outline for each lot. They are for lot width, lot frontage, and lot area. And the chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative for the subdivision and the variances, as well as the checklist waivers that are identified in the planner's report and the engineer's report. I do want to ask Mr. Tyler one question, two separate questions before the vote. Mr. Tyler, you and your client have an opportunity to review Mr. Schultz's report and Mr. Shire's report of October 14th, is that right?
Yes.
And they are acceptable to your client, is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Very well. And the chair, as I said, the chair can entertain a motion. In the affirmative, to approve the subdivision request, the three variances, and of course, there's been testimony concerning the building plans. They would also be approved for construction. We'll have our standard conditions, and chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative. Gentlemen, when casting your ballots tonight, please specify your reasons for your vote.
Based on our solicitor's framed motion, do I have a motion?
So moved, Hartzell.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please, Jamie.
Mr. Allegretta?
Yes, after evaluating the application and looking at the neighborhood and the lot sizes in the neighborhood, personally, I just feel that the variance asks for a bit much. I think this is an area you do want bigger lots. The 45-foot frontage, majority of the lots, if you look all around that neighborhood, most lots are above that. So I don't see the benefits of this outweighing the detriment, so I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Hartzell?
I'm going to vote yes. I've been in this neighborhood on many occasions, and I like this for the following reasons. Plus, it came out in the compelling testimony of the neighbors, which is follows the master plan by creating more single-family homes. It also avoids a big mansion, modest-sized homes, which I think are more likely to have year-round tenants in it, which is a nice thing. Not that you don't want non-year-round tenants, but just think it's a nicer thing. To do that, it matches the neighborhood. And when I basically looked at the lot size, and you have existing 6,000 square foot with two homes there, except there are duplex, and all you're doing is making two homes and 3,000 each, it basically comes out the same to me. And the other thing that I was impressed by, Mr. Shardy bringing up the 2% porch issue, and the only reason why is, on a historic perspective, when Mr. Allegretta and I first got the cats in 2006, people were maxing out their properties in the gardens, and that created porches. So I was just tickled to death that you brought that up, because to have porches is extremely important. And to let us know about the 2%, I forgot about that, and I really appreciate that. That helped me make my mind up to the affirmative. I wish good luck to the applicants, and I vote yes.
Mr. Becker?
I'm going to vote no. I agree with Mr. Allegretta with regard to the lot size.
And I also agree with Mr. Hartzell with regard to the porches. For 2 years I've been on this board, porches are a huge thing for me. It's just that when I look at the character of the neighborhood, the 30-foot lots just don't seem to fit with the rest of the neighborhood.
Mr. Shepherd?
Actually, I was on the edge, and you know, I've been riding up and down this street for 45 years, and again, I was part of when the gentleman that came up and showed when his house was developed better before it. But again, to me, I'm going to vote yes for the reasons that Mr. Hartzell had brought up. I think the important part when I do go here is the neighbors coming out on each side. It's the most important part of the neighborhood to me, and especially long-term neighbors that are there. So I vote yes.
Mr. Crowley?
I agree with Mike's sentiments as far as keeping the larger lots, but you know, you have to weigh, do you want duplexes or do you want single families? And I think with what was done with the redevelopment on Battersea, which backs up to these lots, that I'll vote yes based on that.
Mr. Loper?
I think that the development of single-family lots to taking out a duplex that's non-conforming is paramount, even if we have to sacrifice the size of the lot a little bit. I believe that this is beneficial to the neighborhood, particularly since we've had two neighbors come out speaking in favor of it. And there's already 30-foot lots established in that neighborhood. It's a mixed bag. And hopefully, this will get rid of some of the other duplexes that are in that neighborhood in the long run. Down the line, 5 years, 10 years, they'll go. So I'm going to vote yes for this application.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good.
That's why Avery doesn't like even numbers.
Sally's been working on with Jason Law.
Hey, Gary.
Good night. Merry Christmas. You guys.
That's my uncle, actually.
Yeah.
My dad's a big fan of this stuff.
Yeah. It was 4-2, but if it was 3-3, it would have been shot down.
Yeah.
So actually, the 2021 meeting schedule should be next under new business. That was on the revised agenda.
Can I have a motion for the 2021 meeting agenda schedule?
Becker.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Under old business, adopt resolution PBA 20-012 Anderson. Do I have a motion?
Becker.
Hartzell.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Hartzell?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Ordinance 20-14 consistency.
Becker.
Hartzell.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Hartzell?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Adopt the minutes of 11-4-20.
Hartzell.
Second.
Crowley.
There was executive to discuss contracts. Do you want a roll call on that or an all in favor?
Yeah, we should do a roll call on that because we did go to money.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Hartzell?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Subcommittee report?
Nothing new to report, Mr. Loper.
Do we know if any of that stuff's pushed forward through DOTI yet?
I haven't gotten any confirmation on that.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
No, he's asking about that. He's asking about Dottie.
I'm only... I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm making
you're
too busy reading that score on your phone.
I was making a note for tomorrow, Mr. I'm sorry, Mr. Yeah, I don't forget something I had to do tomorrow.
No, I apologize.
I apologize.
You have a lot on your plate. I'm going to throw some more on it. We have a bunch of stuff that we've worked on. It's been through George Satistano. He agreed with it. It's in Dottie's office. It'd be nice to get it expedited out to city council. It's all mundane stuff that makes these applicants' jobs a little easier. And it's stuff we worked on for...
Yeah, I know some of the things we discussed, but I think we also need to go and really look at the proposal, because sometimes on paper it's tough to visualize it, so I know that's being arranged.
Okay.
To review some of the things, just to make sure you really understand what you're approving and not approving, because as you know, sometimes you approve something, there's other effects to it.
Okay.
You might not see it in a written word, so.
I guess that's what it is. A motion to adjourn.
Wait, can I just remind, this is going to be the last in-person, starting in January. It's going virtual again indefinitely. Well, I shouldn't say indefinitely. Until further notice, that sounds a little better, because there should be a light at the end of the tunnel, right, Vince?
Sometimes that's a train, but yeah.
So, yeah.
It's going to run you over. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all of that good stuff. Everybody stay safe between now and the next time we see on the television land. And we'll move forward.
Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas,
everyone.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
You too. Thank you, Sharon. I don't know where she went. I told her to stay.
Where's your little journey? Hartzell, we're having to eat dinner, people.
Becker.
Thank you.